Well, good afternoon, Walsall. Here once again, Monday afternoon to share with you the love of God and Jesus Christ. Come to you as Bible-believing Christians. There's no other kind. That's the only kind that there is. A man's a Christian. He believes the Word of God in its entirety. And we offer to you a copy of God's Word that you might read, peruse, meditate upon for yourself. It's offered to you quite freely, no cost or obligation to you. John's Gospel, it serves as an introduction to God's Word in the Bible itself. Got Bibles too if you'd like one of those, but take God's Word home with you. Read and see it about Jesus, the Son of God, who was sent into the world, of course, that men and women might come to know, experience, that is, not just know about, but experience the Word of God, experience the Word of God in their hearts, that is, the love of God in their heart. So if you'd like a copy of God's Word, do feel free at any point to come and ask us for one, gladly placed into your hand quite freely. So our question for today is, perhaps maybe for some, not exactly palatable, but one that we do have to address. The punishment, what are the punishments for sin in this world? In the New Testament it says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That kind of sums up, you know, just well, the essence of the matter, you know, because we don't like to think about the subject of punishment. Nobody likes to be punished, you know, and it's quite a relief to us, you know, if we've done wrong and we escape the punishment, you know. But of course, you know, it's a subject that we do have to, it's a reality, so we do have to address it. You know, sometimes people, you know, in the authorities, you know, in the country, of different countries, you know, they escape punishment, you know, and some, of course, are punished very, very severely, much more, of course, than in our own country. But of course, the Bible, you know, makes it clear, you know, that there is punishment for sin, inescapable. It has to be faced, it has to be endured by somebody. If not yourself, then somebody else. And here lies, you see, the love of God, you see, in sending His Son Jesus Christ into the world. And that specifically is to die for sinners, to take their punishment, you know, to be their representative, to take their place. When He died on the cross, He wasn't dying for sins that He had done. He did not deserve to be punished. He was without sin. But He was there on the cross, bearing the punishment, the penalty for the sins of those who would believe, will believe on His name. So the hub of the matter is, the essence of the matter is, believing on Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, whom I declare to you today, that in the love of God, should you believe, trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, you would escape the punishment for your sin. They have to be, the penalty has to be paid by somebody. If Jesus does not take your punishment, then you have to face the punishment yourself. So I urge you this morning to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved from your punishments presently in this world, but then of course there are penalties, punishments in the world to come. It doesn't get better, it gets worse, unless that is you repent of your sin, turn from your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Unless that is, of course, Jesus pays the penalty, pays the price, takes the punishment for your sin, then you have to face it. You have to pay it yourself in full. So friends, we urge you. This is the love of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, truly believes in Him, trusts in Him, in what He has done, accomplished in His dying on the cross, rising again from the dead, that they might escape, you might escape, the penalty, the punishment for your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So the punishment, what are the punishments for sin in this world? That's our question today. In short, blindness of mind, reprobate minds, strong delusions, the Bible says, hardness of heart, horror of conscience, vile affections, and then that's just the inward, that's just in the heart, inside. Outwardly, the curse of God upon His sinful creatures, all other evils that befall our bodies, that affect our name, our estates, our relationships, our employment, and then of course, well, comes the end, then comes death itself, because it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So, my friends, those in summary, are the punishment due to us in this life, without the world to come, without the judgment of God afterwards. Now, in this world, in this life, these are the punishments due to us for our sin. And, of course, in mentioning, speaking of them, though giving you reason, my friends, giving you motive to escape such and to turn from your sinful ways, turn in your sinful heart with sorrow of heart, with brokenness of heart, with contrition of spirit, turning to God's Son, Jesus Christ, in faith, in order that you might escape these dreadful and awful punishments. So the blindness of mind that the Bible speaks of, that's punishment in itself, that you can't see, that you can't understand. Jesus says in one place to a religious man, very religious man, He says to him, he must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? Because of this blindness of mind. A mind that is blinded spiritually and morally cannot see, cannot behold the kingdom of God. Cannot see, cannot understand, cannot grasp. I mean, here you are, many of you live with the thought, you know, that the world and everything in it, it all came into being, you know, by means of some chance explosion, a big bang, the Big Bang Theory, they call it. You know, you can't see. The Bible says the ox knows its master and the ass knows its maker. But men and women do not. They have no knowledge of God because of the blindness of mind. They look at all that God has created. That says God leaves you without any excuse at all for not knowing that God is and not trusting in Him. But you can't see it. You don't get it. You listen to the scientism of the day. You listen to the foolish Darwinian and Dawkins evolutionary nonsense. Blindness of mind, you see. You can't see, you don't get it, that there is a creator, that you're a morally created being and are accountable to Him. And one of the punishments that He sends you because you will not see, don't want to see, is just further blindness of mind, unable to see, unable to understand that you have a God who made you and a God to whom you're responsible to. Blindness of mind, it affects a person's moral judgment. They're able to do things, they're able to do the most wicked things, the most heinous things, unclean things, awful, dreadful things. Live in such a depraved and a debauched way, my friends. Why? Because of this blindness of mind. They don't see that it's wrong. They just follow the lust, the desires of their heart. They just go with what they feel. You have a society today in the Western Hemisphere, United States of America, and here in the United Kingdom, you have a society that's governed by pure emotion. What you feel is right. What you feel about a thing. Well, I feel it's okay. I feel it's okay to lead a life of sexual immorality. I feel it's okay, you know, to seek to worship God by means of false religion. I feel that it's okay. Blindness of mind, my friend. You see, why Jesus says, you must be born again. God must open your mind up. He must give you illumination. He must give you light. He must come to you and pour life into your soul, His love into your heart. He must give you eyesight. He must remove the blindness. But you continue in your unbelief. You continue in that vein, my friend. And you incur more and more as you stand against God, stand against the gospel, reject the truth as it is in Jesus. Now you're given over to just more blindness of mind. That's one, just one of the punishments that's meted out to you in this world. Because of your unbelief. Because of your sinful unbelief. It is, my friend, nothing short, I tell you, of moral madness not to believe in your Creator, and especially not to believe in His Son, whom He sent into the world that you might escape such penalties, such punishment. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's God's commandment to you today, with the assurance of salvation, saved from this awful, awful blindness of mind that so pervades your society today. And then there are some, the Bible tells us, who are given over. No, sir, can't do that, sir. Too important, sir. Can't be doing that. This is the love of God for sinners, that they might be saved from the punishment in this world and the world to come. Reprobate minds. my friend, given over to a willing abandonment to sin without any restraint, my friend. This is the consequence, you see. This is the outworking. This is the performance of God. This is punishment, my friend, for your sins in this world. Because you hold the truth, the wrath of God. The wrath of God isn't just his anger, his displeasure. It's a force, it's a power. And of course it's revealed to those, amongst those, who hold the truth, hold down the truth, suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness and wickedness. God gives them over to a reprobate mind. He gives them over to the abandon. They just abandon themselves to sin. God punishes sinners with more sin. There's a sense in which God comes to you in the gospel. You are presented with salvation. Jesus Christ is set forth before you. But you say, no, I don't want God's love. I don't want his son. I don't want his salvation. So God says, okay, I'll open another door. And I'll even give you a push through the door. And I'll give you what you want. I'll give you over to more of what you want. I'll give you an abundance of what you want. You say, I don't want God, I want my sin. So God says, okay, I'll give you what you want, I'll give you more sin. So he gives you over to a reprobate mind, and you just abandon yourself to sin. I mean, can't you see it in our society today? Can't you see it, my friend? Can you not see the moral madness, the inexcusable madness in your society today? All the sexual deviance that I just plain simply hate talking about. Your youngster children, my friends, not even out of school, they come to us day after day, and the question's always the same. What about the sexual perversity? What about the sexual deviancy? Their minds are obsessed with it. They've been given over to it. They've been given over to reprobate minds and abandonment to sin. Everything and anything goes. That's punishment, my friend. That's not just happenstance. That's not just accident, my friend. This hasn't just fallen out of the sky. It hasn't risen up out of the air. It hasn't come in the wind. It's come to you from God. It's God punishing you for sin in this world, giving you over to blindness of mind and giving you over to reprobate mind, to sin without any restraint. And I tell you, friends, unless there's a turnaround in the nation, unless there's a turnaround in your own heart and life, I tell you, my friends, it's going to go worse. Not going to get better sometime soon. But I do tell you, my friends, there is an answer. I tell you, there is a cure. I tell you, there is a remedy. I tell you, there is a way back to God from the dark path of sin. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In the love of God, herein lies the love of God, in giving his only begotten Son up to the death of the cross to bear the punishment for sinners, so that men and women may turn from such, turn from their sin, repent of it, in other words, and turn to Jesus Christ and receive the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and to receive eternal life through Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here today, who himself loved sinners, loved such sinners, loved such rebels against their Maker, loved them and gave himself for them. Oh, there is a Savior. You might die. You may go out of this world. You may go out, my friends, in your present natural state, sinful state and condition, but I tell you this, my friends, I tell you, you die in your sin, you remain that way for all eternity. But there's a way back, be assured. There's a way back. There's one willing to take your punishment, willing to take your penalty, willing to set you free, should you, that is, but obey the commandment of God, and that is to believe on His Son, Jesus Christ, that you might be a recipient of God's forgiveness, love and favor. But you're given over more and more as you reject the gospel, as you reject the love of God, as you reject the Son of God. You're given over more and more to believe what is not true. Why is it that the majority of men and women in your unbelieving and godless society, why is it that you believe so much that is not true? You believe in evolution, not true. You believe in Islam, not true. You believe in Roman Catholicism, not true. You believe the Watchtower Society, not true. You believe in homosexuality, an untrue perversion of human sexuality. You believe that girls can become boys and boys can become girls. Not true. You believe that there are hundreds of genders. Not true. In the beginning, God made them male and female. But why, ask yourself, is it that you have a society that is permeated with men and women who believe, willingly believe that which is not true? That which is obvious, blindly obvious, I tell you, to any logical mind. But you believe what's not true. Why? Punishment from God. Punishment for sin in this life, in this world. The penalty given over to strong delusions, to believe lies, because you will not receive a love of the truth. God punishes you with this belief, this ability to believe that which is not true and live lives deluded, deluded, my friend. And of course, to believe the lie, to believe that there is no God, not true. To believe that there is no heaven, not true. To believe that there is no hell, not true. You believe that which is not true. That's God's punishment. That's what you're given over to because of your unbelief, your rejection of the truth and of the love of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. But I tell you, or rather Jesus does, the Son, the truth, my friends, only the truth will make you free, says Jesus. Believing the truth as it is in Jesus, believing the truth regarding the Son of God who came into the world to set men free. How does He set them free? By His death on the cross, shedding His blood for sinners, by rising again from the dead to justify them, to make them right before God. But my friends, there's no other escape from the punishment of sin in this world, and that is to turn to the Son of God, He who is the incarnation of the truth. He, my friends, who came to open the eyes of the blind, to give life to the dead. He who came, my friends, that you might escape the punishment in this world, this life, and those in the world to come. Hearts, my friends, harden. The more that you harden yourself, there's a sense in which God Himself hardens men's hearts. That's another part of the punishment given to men and women when they reject the truth of the knowledge of God, when they hold it down, when they suppress it in wickedness, in unrighteousness. The heart is hard to begin with. You come into the world with a hard heart. Bible says that we are conceived in sin. We are born in sin. We come into the world shaping in iniquity with hearts that are hard, my friends. And the more and the longer that you live in sin, the more and more your hearts become hardened. The more and more you give yourself over to sin, the more and more that you live in sin, the more hardened your heart becomes. But when you hear, when the gospel, when Jesus Christ crucified, is set forth before you as the way of life and salvation, the entreaties of God's love are presented to you, and you reject, you turn away, you give God the shoulder, you say, no, I cling to my false religion. You say, no, I cling to my perverse sexuality. You say, no, I continue in my sinful way. I'm quite happy with them, thank you very much. God hardens your heart some more. And some people have gotten to that point in your society where their consciences are so hardened, seared, the Bible says, cauterized, that they no longer have any sense of what's right and wrong. That's why they're able to become serial killers, rapists. That's why they're able to stand in the docks of your courts throughout the land, remorseless, without any remorse whatsoever, because of their heinous crimes against their fellow man. Seared consciences, hardened hearts. That's what God gives you. That's how God punishes sinners in this world. And that's why you need Jesus to give you a new heart. In the love of God, my friend. In the love of God sent into the world. That stony heart might be taken out of you and given a new heart. Given a heart that's a fleshly heart. Given a heart that seeks after, that loves God, that loves and trusts in His Son. And given a new heart, made a new creation. Altogether made new by the power of King Jesus, the Son of God, who loved sinners. And came, my friend, and came to break our hearts and to renew our hearts. Oh, a broken heart, my prayer for you today is, my friend, that God would give you a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that God in His love and grace would visit you in the preaching of the gospel, and that He would give you a broken heart, that He would give you a sorrow for your sin, that He would give you contrition of spirit, and that He would give to you all that He would pour faith into your heart in order that you can escape the punishments in this world, but that you can escape the wrath to come, the punishment in the world to come. Oh, flee into the arms of Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. God's promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon Him today. We're giving over more and more, my friend. This is the end. This is the outworking of your unbelief. of your rejection of the gospel, given over to sin and given over to more and more sin, until you're beyond the remedy, until you're beyond the reach of God's salvation. Oh, I pray that you be arrested today. I pray that you be stopped, that you be hindered in your sinful course today, that you would hear the overtures of God's love, that you would hear the call of Jesus, that you would hear His sweet voice calling you apart out of sin, out of the world, and into His kingdom of grace and love, into His freedom. Oh, that you would be saved, that you would not just be convicted of these matters, that you would not just be troubled about these matters, but that God would grant you repentance, that God would grant you conversion, that you would be turned out of your sins. That these punishments, and I'm sure, my friends, you can see in your own lives presently, don't make it worse, don't continue in that vein, but turn, my friends, turn while you can, while you may. And as Christ is set forth before you today, my friend, please, turn to Him, receive Him, believe upon His name, call upon His name, and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be saved. Shall not be disappointed. Shall be saved. But then, my friends, there's more. Oh, there's more. You continue on in that vein, in the way of sin. You continue on in the way of darkness, my friend. Given over, the Bible says, to horror of conscience. Oh, what a terrible thing, my friends, it is to have a troubled conscience. You know, the Bible says that in the end, when men and women are cast into hell, that place where the worm dieth not, what does that mean? It means, my friends, that they will have consciences that are fully operational for all eternity. A fully operational, blinding horror of conscience for all eternity. That's in the world to come, of course, that's not now. But now, my friends, to have a troubled conscience, to have horror of conscience, maybe because of something you've done. There are some people that should suffer from horror of conscience. Those may be perhaps, I'm thinking, maybe perhaps those who have been involved in the murder of unborn children. Those who are involved today, my friend, they call it palliative care. It's the murder, my friends, of adults. No, my friend, horror of conscience does belong to sinners, murderers, manslayers, abortioners, all kinds of people. But what does one do with a bad conscience today? Now in this world, if God gives you over to the horror of conscience, there's only one thing to do with it. Some people turn to alcohol. Some people turn to drugs, legal and illegal. They turn to all kinds of measures in order to pacify their consciences. But there's no answer there. No lasting answer. Only one answer, my friend, and that's the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for sinners, that you might have peace with God and know the peace of God. The blood of God's Son, my friends. By His blood, peace is made between us and God. The warfare comes to an end. The enmity, the hatred in your heart against your Maker comes to an end. Your sin blotted out in the blood and through the love of Jesus Christ. And your conscience pacified, not just temporarily, as with alcohol or drugs, but my friend, an everlasting peace because of trusting in Jesus Christ and in His shed blood for sinners. And then fear of judgment, you know. Judgments to come. Some people do live that way. Don't you know? Oh, they know the judgment of God. The Bible says so. They understand that they're going to be judged. You see, it matters not how much and how hard you try. You can't get God out of you. He has stamped upon your inner being the innate knowledge of God, that you're a morally accountable creature, and that you're free from the judgment of God. You know, in your heart of hearts, you know that there's a day of accountability, but you don't know how, you don't know when, and you don't know what that'll be like, but you know that you're accountable. That's why many of you turn to religion, false religion. You think that pacifies God's wrath? It does not. You see, my friends, the thought of judgment to come, well, some people can't live their lives as a result of it. They live in fear and dread of it. And of course, when it comes to death, the king of terrors, the Bible calls it, that is, if you're fully awake when it comes, if you've not been pumped full of drugs, my friends, faced with the king of terrors, you laugh today, you sneer today, you give God the shoulder today, you turn away in rejection today, but my friends, when you're about to breathe your last and step into God's courtroom, you won't be sneering, you won't be laughing then. And when you stand before Him in judgment, my friends, your bones will be coming apart at the joints. Your heart will be melting for fear and dread at the very sight of Jesus, the wrath of the Lamb. And you'll be calling the mountains and the rocks to come down and hide you from the presence of the wrath of the Lamb. But today, my friends, He would take that wrath away from you. Today, my friends, should you repent? Today, should you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, in the love of God, my friends? In the love of God, He has done something to deal even with His own wrath and anger, and causing His Son to be crucified, to be an appeasement for His wrath, to remove and take it away from the sinner who truly believes in Jesus, who repents of their sin and believes on the Son of God. No more wrath. No more fear of judgment. Fear is cast out, perfected in love. No more fear of judgment to come. But then another one, the testimonies, my friends, of infidels filled with terror on their deathbed. I recall a man, the father of a minister of the gospel. He had been told the gospel many times, the way of life, the way of salvation. And all through his life he had rejected it. and it came to his deathbed scene, and his son, the pastor, the minister, was stood over him, and his father just about to breathe his last. He kept beating his legs. He said, somebody put the flames out. Somebody put the flames out, he said. Hell, my friends, was licking at his feet even as he was dying. You say, there is no hell, you lie. You say there is no heaven, you lie. You say there is no God, you lie. Damnable liars, my friend. Another penalty, another punishment afforded you because of your unbelief, because of your rejection of the gospel, the Son of God, who loves sinners, that you might be saved from such a terrible end, my friend, that death would have no terror for you, but given eternal life through the Son of God who loves sinners. But then, my friend, given over to vile affection, I mean a God of love, a God of infinite love, a God who so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son for vile sinners. And they cast it in his teeth. They turned from it. They give him the shoulder. So he punishes them with more. Gives them over to vile affection. So that instead of desiring, instead of wanting, desiring God and his love and salvation, they desire that which is vile. Why would men and women desire sodomy? Why, my friends, does your nation as a whole desire filth, abomination, such as sodomy, such perversity and uncleanness that's even unnatural, never mind an abomination to God? Why would you desire that above the love and the grace and kindness of God? It's God's punishment. It's God's judgment upon your nation. You reject me, so God says, okay, you don't desire me, I'll give you over to desire that which is vile. Absolutely vile. That's what you desire. And God gives you what you desire, because you don't desire him. That's why. But there's yet hope, there's yet a way back. There is, my friends, there is a cross on yonder hill 2,000 years ago, where the Son of God bled and died for sinners. Where, my friends, the Son of God, the beautiful Jesus, who so loved the world of sinners that he stepped down into it, into the sin-cursed world, among sin-cursed people, being penalized, being punished for their sin. He so loved them that he came and lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead, that they might be turned out of their sin, that they might be turned away from such vile affection, that they might be brought to see that what they desire is vile in the eyes of God, in the eyes of a holy God. What are your desires, I ask you this afternoon? He came that you might desire him, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000. that you might desire him, my friend, that he might be in your affection. But oh, my friend, the present world condition under the curse of God, the entirety of humanity, but Jesus came to redeem men and women from the curse. He took the curse upon himself on the cross, so that the sinner who truly believes in him, trusts in his shed blood, my friend, the curse lifted from off of them. And all that curse remains on the world of humanity. Every man, woman and child born into this world, cursed of God, under the curse of God because of sin. And the only one who can redeem you, the only one who can buy you back from sin and set you free from that divine curse, my friend, is Jesus, the Son of God, whom we declare to you today. Even nature, my friend, even nature is set against you. Viruses, storms, tsunamis, earthquakes, even nature, God turns against you and punishes you for your sin. Oh, the penalty can be removed, can be taken away. There is a way, my friend. There is a way. The grace of God in Jesus Christ, devastated by and cursed by sin. Death reigns, my friend. The last enemy, the Bible says, the last foe, death, my friend, that raging river Jordan, we must all cross over it. My dying mother said to me, when I was 9 years of age, she said, "Jimmy, there's always one last river to cross, the Jordan. You come to the raging Jordan River. You come to the end of your existence in this world. And my friend, you think you can swim that river on your own? You'll be swept away in the torrent of God's wrath. But should you trust in Jesus, should you believe in the Son of God, should you trust in his saving work, should you trust in his atoning death and his justifying resurrection, should you trust in Jesus, he will meet you on the banks of that river and bear you safely across it. But without him, my friend, not a hope in this world, nothing but more punishment, not a hope in the world to come, not a hope when you come to that point, as you must breathe your last. It is appointed, divinely appointed, for man once to die, but after that the judgment. And then there comes more punishment, more of the same for all eternity. But today, my friend, today God punishing you for your sin, for your obduracy, for your unbelief, your blindness of mind, reprobate mind. My friends, there is a way by which you can be redeemed, a way by which you can be brought to security, eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. The wages, the punishment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. from I declare to you today in the love of God. In the love of God, I beseech you, be reconciled to God today. Receive, believe, trust in the one who came from heaven's glory, who stepped down into this world to die and to rise from the dead to defeat sin and death and hell, and to rescue sinners, to rescue you. That's what he came for, to rescue men and women lost in sin, such as you and I, that they're trusting, believing. Faith, my friend, everlasting life to whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth. Only believers, my friend. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not mine, his voice, harden not your heart. My sheep, they hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, says Jesus, and they shall never, never perish. Come today, come, he bids you to. Come unto me, all ye that labor under the punishment of sin in this world. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Gentle, compassionate. Oh, that's my Jesus. He will in no wise cast out the sinner who comes to him. Truly, sincerely, coming from their sin and turning to him and receiving his grace, his love, life eternal, everlasting. My friend, believe on Jesus. Receive his admonition today. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Like to have a copy of God's word. His written word is offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. Read, study, meditate upon the person of Jesus, who loved sinners and gave himself for them. Of the God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Receive the Word of God. Receive the Son of God. Receive the love of God. You'd like a copy of God's Word? Come and ask for one. Gladly, freely, place into your hand. You're simply for the taking. May God bless you also. May God bless you and have mercy. Mercy, I say, upon your precious, never dying souls.